This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity in the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. It was a shocking death. Retired Kalamazoo College professor Gail Griffin had quietly maintained a long-distance relationship with her beloved Bob for 18 years. They enjoyed daily phone calls and traveled across the country to spend sabbaticals, vacations, and holidays together. Finally, they were both retired and could get married. But 4 months and 8 days later, Bob was gone. Griffin tried to make sense of the heartbreak and loss in her new book, Grief's Country.
In the blur of that night, I remember clearly standing at the edge, looking down the high bank, muddy and root-veined. Always I had found that bank a little scary, and now I knew absolutely that I was about to slide down into the river. Because if I didn't, I could never say I looked for you. What if you were down there just below me and I didn't look? And so I sat and slid. The water was colder than I expected, and the current swifter, seizing my feet. I slipped underwater, as if I might meet you there. But I knew better. I knew better before I left the bank. You were somewhere else. And the water was not where I belonged. A low tree offered a finger of a branch, and I took it. Once again, the imperative, you will have to live. And the concession, I will. I will.
At one point in this memoir, Gail, after losing your husband, Bob, after only a marriage of 4 months and 8 days, although you'd been together in a long-distance relationship, making that work for 18 years, right. But at one point you write, oh, no, now I'm going to have to write about this.
Not only at one point, the morning after it happened, that was one of my first thoughts, which is a little revealing, I guess, of
it
who
is.
I am.
That's interesting, yeah. Yeah. So writing about the loss of your love had to be heartrending to relive all of that all over again. And yet I'm hoping it was also healing.
Well, that's complicated. It was, my heart got rent a lot, especially with the first three essays in the book. There are nine of them plus a little postscript. And the first three are about that night and our relationship and the days and weeks immediately after. And that was hard to write. That was emotionally the hardest thing I've ever had to write. And when it's emotionally hard, you also worry about form and voice and artistic issues as well. The book came together very gradually over a period of maybe 8 years. And when I first started writing it, I did not intend to write a book. I had no idea in my head there was going to be a book. I just wrote a few of the essays, the ones at the end of the book, the ones that are brighter and a little more forward-looking. And so those were challenging but not wrenching. When I finally decided this is going to be a book, you might as well just admit it and sign your life away, and started to put it all together, there was a healing aspect to it. And there is now, knowing that to the best of my ability, I made something shapely out of that complete mess that descended on my life like a mudslide.
We've known each other over quite a few years.
Yeah.
You're from Kalamazoo College, now retired, but mm-hmm. You were there for what,
36?
36 years.
36 long years.
But you kept yourself relatively private. Many of us on campus didn't even realize that you had a love somewhere out there in Colorado or wherever.
Yep.
Or that you had gotten married.
Right.
But writing a memoir, you're really putting any type of writing, but writing a memoir about grief.
No, you're right.
Yet.
This is really doing it. This is really taking off all your clothes and walking into the middle of, the room.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. It was interesting to me that in one of the parts of your book, you talk about the word, the concept of widow, and also how widowhood affects men and women. And I guess you could say that about being single as well, mm-hmm. how you might have been perceived as an unmarried woman and how mm-hmm. he'd be perceived as unmarried.
Talk about that a little bit, about the concept of widowhood.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me that widow is a word that originally referred only to women. We developed the word widower so that a man who's lost his spouse would have a title. But widow is fundamentally, historically, a female category, because a woman left without male protection was an anomaly in society, and I think to a certain extent still is. I think the man who's alone is considered either enviably free or a really good prospect. Women alone are very often, I think, still seen and treated as leftovers. And I felt it very strongly and still do.
You know, as we've been talking, I don't think it's a spoiler alert. We haven't talked about how Bob died. It's, I suppose, every death is unique and every loss, you know, it is poignant. But
right.
The way you lost him was so shocking.
Thank you. That's exactly the word that keeps lurking in my mind. It was shocking. It was, and unfortunately, when I got back to Kalamazoo, I was sheltered for about a week before I came home. And when I got home, people kept saying, "How'd it happen? How'd it happen?" And the last thing I wanted to do was tell the story of how it happened. But I'm okay with that now. Our cabin, our little cabin on the Manistee River outside of Fife Lake, Michigan, in Kalkaska County, was about 10 feet from the very high bank of the river, much closer than it could have been built today, because there are laws against that now. And Bob had bought me for Christmas a wonderfully elaborate, expensive bird feeder that we hung from a tree out over the river. And he, being Bob, who was always coming up with Rube Goldberg approaches to everything, created this pulley and rope thing so that he could pull in the bird feeder and take it in at night, because the raccoons were always getting at the bird feeders. And on the night of May 8th, he went out at about 9:45, 10 o'clock, to bring in the bird feeder, and I never saw him again. And his body was found about 500 yards down the river, about an hour and a half later. And we don't actually know what happened. I saw where his slippers were on the bank of the river.
Or one of them?
I found one, and then I said, the other one's going to be right down by the edge of the water, and I looked down, and there it was. And I knew he was gone long before they found him.
Yeah.
I went to a psychic. I consulted a psychic, which is in the book also. Hard for me to confess as a college professor, but I do believe in alternate ways of knowing. And she immediately said, heart attack. He died of a heart attack. He's right here, and he just told me he died of a heart attack. His heart had just been checked the week before, and he was told that he had a great heart. But it very often happens that hearts have a mind of their own. And so I would not be surprised if he'd had a heart attack on the bank and fallen into the river. The legal cause of death was drowning. But I just don't know. I've had to live with not knowing.
I'm Zinta A. Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Gail Griffin, the author of Grief's Country. Griffin will read from the book at 6:30 p.m. March 23rd at Book Bug, This Is a Bookstore in Kalamazoo. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.